Okay, let's look at the Pauline epistles, and those are the epistles or the books of the Bible that the Apostle Paul wrote. Now, the reason I'm going to go over that tonight is because we've mentioned a lot about it, especially the last few Wednesday nights when we were talking about Old Testament, and then we dealt with a lot of verses that are pertaining to Hebrews and James over in here. And I don't think I ever have here shown some things about the Pauline epistles. He wrote 13 books. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote 13 books in the New Testament. Paul gets saved. Now, let me say this. Y'all do already know, you should already know, the reason I've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on this side of the cross is because the majority of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is in the Old Testament. The New Testament starts at the cross, and Jesus dies at the last part of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you have the book of Acts. The book of Acts is on this side of the cross. I started with chapter 9. I know how to count, but I started with chapter 9 because chapter 9 is where the Apostle Paul gets saved. His name was Saul before that. I'll explain that in just a minute. He gets saved in chapter number 9, and the book of Acts goes all the way to chapter 28. So these 13 books that Paul wrote are divided into what they call the missionary epistles and prison epistles. The prison epistles would be the books that Paul wrote from a jail cell in Rome. The missionary epistles would be the ones that he wrote while traveling through the book of Acts. And I'll go over that here in just a few minutes. So that is the reason that I wanted to go over that, just to show you just a few interesting things that might help you in Bible study understand things. From the cross to the rapture is what we call the church age. That's the age we're living in. I'll tell you what, let's look at this. Paul wrote 13 books. Now, you might think, okay, the first one was Romans through Philemon. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. That's 13 books in the New Testament the Apostle Paul wrote. That's not the order that he wrote them. The way it's laid out in the Bible is the largest book, Romans, 16 chapters, the largest book all the way to Philemon. Philemon's one chapter. That's the way it's laid out in the Bible. That is not the order he wrote them in. So there's one thing, point out that I wanted to show you. Now, the Apostle Paul got saved in Acts 9. Well, I don't know if y'all remember what happened in Acts chapter number 7, but in Acts chapter number 7, there was a fellow by the name of Stephen. Stephen, I don't have the verse on the screen for you, so I'm going to have to turn to it. But it's found in Acts chapter 7. Stephen is preaching, and they stoned Stephen. Remember that story? All right. At the end of Acts 7, let me find the verse. Let's see. They're stoning Stephen. And verse number 56, and said, "Behold, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Saul was a Pharisee. Saul was, that was his name before he got saved. Saul was a Pharisee. He was of the certain sect that was very knowledgeable of the Scriptures. If you want to know who a Pharisee would be one that, remember, came to Jesus, always trying to trap him. The Pharisees crucified the Lord. We have Saul, a Pharisee. He's killing Christians before Acts chapter number 9. Saul was a bad dude. He would kill Christians just like he did here in Acts 7 at the stoning of Stephen. Then he gets saved in Acts chapter number 9. God changes his name to Paul. And then Paul becomes the apostle to the Gentiles, writes these books to the church. Church at Rome, church at Corinth, church at Thessalonica, so on and so forth. Now, here's something interesting. The first word in all 13 of these books is, want to take a guess, Paul. I'll give you, for instance, Paul, Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. And I'm not going to go over all 13 of them. I'll give you just a few of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle, Jesus Christ, through the will of God, Sophronius, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. 1 Corinthians, to them that are sanctified, so on and so forth. 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Now, when it says church of God, I know most of you know this already. Some of you may be watching on internet. Church of God, that's not the denomination church of God. The church of God, the church that belongs to God. Everybody that's saved is a member of the church that belongs to God. And so Paul is writing these churches, Corinth, so on and so forth. And the reason I'm pointing this out is because every one of them, here's Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul, let's see, verse 2, where's verse 2? Here it is. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. That's what we're talking about. The church age. Paul writing these books to the churches. And you can go through the rest of them. All 13. Paul. Now, here's something interesting. There's debate and all that kind of stuff. Who wrote the book of Hebrews? Well, just very simply. Nobody knows who wrote Hebrews. There's no signature on it or whatever. The Apostle Paul put his name, the first word, on all 13 of these books. The first word in Hebrews 1:1 is God, who at sundry times and so on diverse, da da da. So, just by that alone, we would say Paul didn't write the book of Hebrews. Don't know. It's not worth arguing about, or it's at least not worth arguing about with me. Now, here's something else interesting. Let me show you something in Romans. Romans 16:22. I, Tertullius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Now, who in the world is Tertullius? I think I'm saying it right. Who knows? Who is this guy? He says he wrote Romans. Now, every word is inspired of God. So, you're looking at Romans 16 and Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Now, I thought you said Paul wrote all of these. Well, now, Paul, according to history, Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Some say that's his eyesight. We all know that Paul, according to some of the stuff that he wrote, I don't know if that was the thorn of his flesh or not. I have no idea. But his eyesight gave him problems. And so what Paul would do, he would have somebody write it down as Paul spoke it, sort of like a secretary. Does that make sense? So when you see this, don't run across this and go, oh, Brother Jeremy told us wrong. This guy wrote the book of Romans. Well, actually, this guy was holding the pen, but Paul was telling him what to write. Does that make sense? So Paul is inspired of God. But he's having a hard time seeing, and so he has this guy actually write it with his own hand. Now, here's something else that's interesting. Watch. Here's how you can tell the difference. Here in 1 Corinthians 16:21, the salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. So the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians with his own hand. Here's Colossians, the end of Colossians chapter 4, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds, grace be in you and amen. So Paul will tell you when he wrote it with his own hand, and so on and so forth. Here's 2 Thessalonians. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is token in every epistle, so I write. So, interesting. Now, with all of that said, let me break down these 13 epistles for you and show you. Here's the book of Acts laid out from chapter 7 all the way to 28. Paul gets saved in 9. So you know he didn't write any of the books before Acts chapter number 9. Now, Galatians is the first book that Paul wrote. And he goes to Galatia in Acts 14. So sometime around Acts 14, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Galatians. All right, now the reason I'm laying it out that way so you can visualize this, these are what we call the Acts epistles, missionary epistles. This is his first missionary journey. Let me explain this. Paul gets saved in Acts 9, okay? He's been killing Christians. Now, he's going to all of these cities. His first missionary journey, he goes, and people start getting saved. So he starts a church. They didn't build a building like what we have. They started meeting in somebody's house, living room, wherever, somebody's rooftop. That's where they would meet. And Paul would start that church, get it going, and he would move on to another town. Paul would start preaching. So-and-so would get saved. Give it for instance, in Acts 16, the Philippian jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Philippian jailer, and his whole house got saved. Philippian jailer. Well, guess what? Paul writes a book named Philippians. Guess who he's writing to? These people that got saved in Acts 16. So he goes to all these places. That's how you start churches. It would be like if Millsfield didn't have a church at all. Somebody comes to Millsfield area, starts preaching, a tent, whatever you want to call it, and people start getting saved. And 30, 40, 50 people get saved, and we start meeting in somebody's living room. And then we would have, if Paul was going to write us a letter, he'd say, to the church of God, which is at Millsfield. Does that make sense? He would be telling us, you know, whatever, great to be with you, whatever, you know. So, Paul writes Galatians sometime around chapter 14 or so on his first missionary journey. Then the next books he writes is 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. He goes to Thessalonica around chapter number 18. So you've got 1st and 2nd Thessalonians around chapter number 18. Now there are reasons why I say this, and I'm not going to bore you with the details, but if you want to know sometime, I'll be glad to tell you. The reason we come up with this is because if you read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he'll say stuff like, and Timothy and Silvanus was with me, or whatever. Well, then when you read Acts 18 or so, it says Timothy and Silvanus shows up. You understand? So you realize that by matching these two together, this is written sometime around chapter 18 of the book of Acts. And then you have, he goes to Corinth in chapter 19. He goes to Corinth in chapter 19. Well, y'all take a wild guess of what books he might have wrote sometime after he went to Corinth. 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Who was it that said 2 Corinthians? What was one of the presidents said it. It's found in 2 Corinthians. Anyway, they just showed how much they went to church. Anyway, so 1st and 2nd Corinthians is written sometime around chapter 19 of the book of Acts. And then Romans is written somewhere around chapter 20. Romans. So, all right, let me do this. Let me do a grand.
Let me divide this right quick.
Okay. Everything on this side is what we call the Acts epistles. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were all written during the Acts. First missionary journey, second missionary journey, and so on and so forth. When I say a missionary journey, that's when Paul set out. He goes to all these different places, setting up these churches. All the saved people in Rome, all the saved people in Corinth, Thessalonica, Galatia, so on and so forth. You get it. Paul gets arrested somewhere around chapter 21, 22, somewhere along in there. If you remember, if your memory's good, it's been, I don't know, a few Sundays ago, I preached on almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. The whole sermon was about Acts 26 and 27, where Paul is standing in front of King Agrippa. Paul is arrested. He's in jail. And he gives his testimony to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa says, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. That's what happens. That's where he goes to jail. Now, the rest of these epistles were written while Paul was in jail. Now, does that make sense? So you have the prison epistles. You've got Ephesians, Philippians, you have Colossians, you have 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. I know that's the same brief. That's Philippians. That's Philemon. Okay? How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 books Paul wrote. These were written during Acts, and these were written while Paul was in prison. Let me show you. Look at Ephesians 3 and verse 1. Ephesians 3 and verse 1. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you who? Gentile. See? He's in prison. Here's Ephesians 6:20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. If he's in bonds, he's in prison. He's in jail. That makes sense? Philippians 1:7. Where does it say? Insomuch as both in my bonds. There in the middle of the verse. Just to save time, trying to... Here's Colossians 4:3. Wherewithal praying also for us that God would open us unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. There's Colossians. So we know Paul wrote these books after Acts 28 because he's in prison. And these are some of the verses that gives us that. 2 Timothy 1:16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of old Nesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. So what happened, you have people like this Onesiphorus who would come and bring and visit Paul in jail, bring him whatever. So whatever he refreshed him with. And they would give him reports about things going on in some of these churches. So even while Paul was in prison, he had people that would come and check on him and things of that nature. Here's 2 Timothy. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. So here's these verses that let you know. Philemon chapter 1, verse 9. There's only one chapter there. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul, the aged, and now also, now you're Paul the aged. Now remember, Acts 7, they laid Stephen's coat at a young man's feet named Saul. Well, now by the time you get to Philemon, verse 9, Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Anyway, all these verses give you, I mean, all you have to do is read those. And let me show you, I didn't put this one on the board, but let me show you one. Let me go to Philemon and show you. Because a lot of people think, in their minds, they think, okay, you know, these churches, you go to these church at Corinth, church at Rome, and all this place you go in, they got a building and a pulpit and a piano and everything like we got. It's pews and chairs, whatever. That's not the case. Here's the book of Philemon. Let me read verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Ophelia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So that tells us the church is not a building, a steeple, a pulpit, a piano. It's people. God forbid, if this church burnt down tomorrow, we could still have church at somebody's house, outside, somewhere. You understand? So that's how they met in the days of Paul. Okay. Now, let me give you just something, a few other things about 1st and 2nd Timothy. Now, all of these are prison epistles. These were written while he was in prison. These were written while during the Acts period. Okay? Now, even though all of these are called prison epistles, you have 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon that he's writing to people. Not necessarily churches, but pastor friends. Timothy was a pastor friend. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 is where we get the qualifications of a bishop, the deacons, so on and so forth. Why? Because pastoral epistles. Philemon was a preacher. He had a church in his house. The Apostle Paul is writing to Philemon. But by the way, tell the church that's meeting you in your living room, I said hello. Titus, another one of his preacher, young preacher converts. Titus chapter 3 gives qualifications of a deacon and a bishop and so on and so forth. You'll find all of that there, written from a prison cell. Now, you say, why'd you bring all of this up? Because there is a transition which you should know about already from the cross all the way to the rapture. There is a transition from law to grace, from Jew to Gentile. I'll give you for instance, Romans 1:16. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. All right. Anytime you read the book of Acts, Paul, when he goes into every one of these towns, you know where he goes first? He goes to the Jewish synagogue first on Saturday. Because that's where all the Jews are. He's trying to reach them for the glory of God. Let me show you this. He goes to the Jew first. If they don't listen, most of the time they didn't. He would preach to the Gentiles. Now, by the time you get to Acts 28, let me show you something. Acts 28, let me look at this. See what this says. Acts 28, the end of Acts 28 and verse number 27. Oh, let's see. Verse 27 of Acts 28. For the heart, Paul's talking, for the heart of this people, these Jews, it's waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. After Acts 28, he no longer goes to the Jew first anymore. He goes strictly to the Gentiles. Why? Because every time through the book of Acts, he'd go to the Jewish synagogue first, and what? They're hard-headed. They won't listen. Their eyes are closed. Their ears are closed. Their hearts are hard. By the time he gets to 28, he says, okay, I've done all I can do. My hands are clean. I'm going, salvation is going to the Gentiles. All right, here's something else I want to show you. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus, and he says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, here's our church age right here, from the cross to the rapture. Now watch this. What was the first thing he said? And he gave some, what was it, apostles? Somebody help me. Apostles. Prophets. And then what? Well, I'm going to run out of room here. Let's see. Evan. And then what? Okay. Notice apostles, prophets, evangelists. And then by the time you get to the end of the church age, you have pastor teachers. Notice, when the book of Acts started, you had apostles. You had apostles. Now watch. Now, this might upset the apple cart, but there are no more apostles today. There was back in the book of Acts. There's not anymore. Now, if you turn on the television and it says, scrolls across the bottom of the screen, it says apostle so-and-so. Well, you just run up on a liar. Can I get an amen? And I can prove it to you. Acts chapter 1 says to be an apostle, you had to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why all the apostles were at the front part of the book of Acts. After them dudes died off, there ain't no more. And yes, I said ain't. There ain't no more. Why? Because it's either that or you're old. If there's an apostle today, you'd have to be at least, what, 2,000 years old to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1. It's there. Prophets. There are no more prophets today. Evangelists. Now, we do have evangelists. Evangelists evangelize, going and getting people saved and this, that, and the other. But the majority of the focus today, at the end of this church age, is pastor teachers. And notice in Ephesians, it gave some apostles. What's that thing after apostles? It's a semicolon, right? A colon is the two dots. Semicolon is the right. Okay. And some prophets, semicolon. And some evangelists, semicolon. And some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers is together. A pastor ought to be able to teach, and a teacher ought to be able to pastor. Well, hallelujah. This ain't going over as good as it did in my head while I was studying all this. But I'm going to tell you, there are there are some good pastors, but the reason our churches are in the shape they're in is because pastors don't know how to teach the Bible. One of the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3 of the pastor is to be apt to teach. That's a qualification. Everybody's worried about, you know, that husband or wife, they're worried about that. What about this one, apt to teach? You can't. Hit the road. Boy, that's going over real good in the internet. That's why I got my back turned. I'm just throwing it out there. That's what it says. I got more proof about that one than you do the other one. Hallelujah. Well, my blood pressure is getting up. I didn't take my pill. But I do want you to see that. And matter of fact, the apostle thing, it's in Acts chapter 1. And what this does, Paul lays it out for you, apostles, prophets, and as these taper off, the evangelists come on, these churches started evangelizing. Give her, for instance, I did the revival back, a few weeks ago and up around Paris or whatever. I'm not going to that church as a pastor. I'm not their pastor. I'm going to evangelize. When I come back home here, that's what I do. Does that make sense? So you still have these guys that are going around evangelizing and preaching and people are getting saved and this, that, and the other. But once somebody gets saved, they need to get under a good pastor teacher to be able to teach them the Bible. And that's how the church age is laid out. And then you already know this already. And we've already been over it, but after Philemon, the finishing of the church age books, Matthew's a Jew, Mark's a Jew, Luke's a Jew, John's a Jew, Paul, 13 books to Gentiles, and then the next book after Philemon is Hebrews. Well, what's Hebrews? Jews. God deals with the church. He deals first with the Jews. They wouldn't listen. Paul says, I even tried to deal with them at the first part of this thing. They're hard-headed. Their eyes are closed. Their hearts are hard. And this, that, and the other. Goes strictly to the Gentiles. Rapture takes place. All right. Hebrews. Bunch of Jews. Now we have that to deal with through the... And there you have that. Does that make sense? So, when you read your Bible... Another reason this is so important, because I got a few extra minutes. I don't have time to go into this very deep, but in Acts, I think it's 27, where Paul goes shipwrecked. Paul goes shipwrecked, and they're off the isle of Melita, and they built a... Paul is in prison. He's off of ship, and he's a prisoner on this ship. Acts 27, I think. And the storm Eurocladon comes through, right? And they're out there, and they're building a fire. Paul's out there warming himself by the fire, okay? He's warming himself by the fire. A viper comes out of the fire, bites him on the hand, and would have killed him, but Paul slings it off. And slings the snake off into the fire, and it don't bother him. Because Paul is still has the gift of the apostle. He has the gift of healing in this first part right here. I'm going to show you something. Viper latches onto his hand. In the rest of us, it would have killed us. Now, you want to prove it? All right, I'll prove it. When he shook the snake off, all the barbarians that are around him started worshiping Paul, thought he was a god, because this snake should have killed him. Paul should have been laid over dead. He just shook it off. Now, there is a sermon I'm going to preach some of these times. The sermon is called Just Shake It Off. Woo! Anyway, ain't got time for that tonight. Shake It Off. And it ain't got anything to do with that song, it's Shake It Off. Anyway, Paul has the gift of the apostle. Now, in 1 Timothy, by the time you get over here, First Timothy. There's a fellow over there that is sick. Let me look, because I don't want y'all to take my word for it. I want to show it to you. Hang on. I didn't write it down, so I have to find it. 2 Timothy, I think. I'm looking. Give me a second. This is live TV. Has anybody run across it yet? Where is it? I know it's Timothy. He left. Where is it at? Oh, here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. Let me ask you a question. 2 Timothy. Here we are over here. Now, Paul got bit by a snake right here, and he shook it off, didn't even bother. He's got a friend over here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that's sick, and he has to leave him there sick, can't even heal him. Because the apostleship has gone off, and the pastor-teacher thing has come up, and the pastor-teacher don't have the gift of the apostles like the apostles did. So when you see that, you're saying, well, we're still in the Acts. We got the gifts of the apostles, and they snake bite, no problem. Paul just heals himself. Comes over here to Timothy, which is written later while he's in prison. He said, man, I can't even heal my own friend. Now, what does that prove to you? Now, you're not going to get this just everywhere. But what this proves to you is these gifts. Man, do you realize in Acts chapter number 3, Peter was just walking down the streets of Jerusalem. The sun was just hitting him right in his shadow. Somebody walked past his shadow and got healed. Peter didn't even have to touch nobody. They just touched his shadow and got healed. Do you think that can go on today? Now, I know what somebody's watching right now. Oh, Brother Jeremy, don't believe God can heal today. He sure can. But he don't need my shadow to do it. You understand? There is a difference. And people say this. What's people say? Oh, God's the same yesterday, day, forever. He can do it back then. He can do it today. Well, that's true. He could if he wanted to. But he don't work that way. Why do I not need to have a healing line every Sunday morning, Wednesday night, have a healing line, people, and I pop them on the head and they fall out and all of that? Because back here, they didn't have this written word completed. Now we do. And I don't have to perform miracles in front of you to get you to believe the Bible. I either say, turn to it, look at it, believe it. If you don't, go to McDonald's and get a shake. See if her shake machine's working. But they didn't have. Paul couldn't say, hey, I need y'all to take your Bible and turn to. Couldn't do that. Does that make sense? Well, I hope so. But that thing is how, that's how that worked. Anyway. All right. So you have your missionary epistles, Acts epistles. People call them different things. Acts. Because they were written during the time of Acts. And then you have your prison epistles. And then some people call Timothy, Titus, Philemon pastoral epistles. Whatever you want to call them. But that's how the books of the Bible are laid out.